Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. It's always our delight to have you come on board, join in the dialogue and the discussion on Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you once again that as we face the issues, we do so based on biblical truth. You know, I find so often individuals with different issues, whether it's theological, doctrinal, biblical, social, political, it's just simply a matter of opinion. Well, this is what I believe. This is what I say. This is what I think. Ladies and gentlemen, when it boils right down to it, what I think, say, or feel is inconsequential and insignificant. It's what does the Word of God say? God's Word should be the final authority in each of our lives, especially as Christians. And I pray, ladies and gentlemen, that you are. I pray that you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. I pray that you know, that you know, that you know that you're on your way to heaven without any doubt. I've always said if there's doubt, do. If you doubt your relationship to Jesus Christ as being blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, you need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me my sin, and save me. That's the only sure way for biblical salvation. But ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, and we do so based on the authority of Scripture, it is what I call having a central biblicist philosophy or worldview. Without having a central biblicist worldview, we want to depend on the dogma of different denominations with the rites and the rituals, the rules and the regulations. But when we have a central biblicist worldview, it's based on the authority of the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32 to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A lot of folks that will use a portion of that scripture and say the truth shall make you free. That is absolutely a fact. But first and foremost is continuing in his word. If you continue in my word, Jesus says, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 17:17, a very profound statement, a very dogmatic statement about the word of God. He says, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about truth, we're simply talking about the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Not a matter of philosophy or opinion or ideological dogma, but what does the Word of God say? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the foundations of our nation, our foundations. It is important for us to understand what our foundations are made of, what our foundations, what's happening to our foundations today. Our foundations, we're talking about our foundations of America. The Bible says if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? In Psalms 11:3. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a great many, let me just give you an illustration. The great many companies across America, major corporate entities, organizational companies, that their fundamental reason for existence is to repair the foundations of buildings. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the ads on television, but they'll start showing along the curtain wall, the outside bottom edge of the home, where it's cracking or where the inside sheetrock is popping and cracking. And then they will trace it down to a fundamental flaw in the foundation. the foundation of the building. Their total business is based upon the safety and security of your home, making sure that the foundation is solid. And if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do is what is asked by the psalmist in Psalms 11 and verse 3. Ladies and gentlemen, our foundations in America, the foundation of our nation, needs to be repaired before it is totally destroyed. We are witnessing today the absolute erosion and crumbling of the moral, ethical, spiritual foundations in our nation today, in America today. And I could go into a great deal of detail on several of these issues. I want to paint the picture by way of the introductory monologue and the introductory thoughts as to where I'm going. For example, we're watching the erosion and the crumbling of our moral, ethical, spiritual foundations in America. We're seeing prayer banned if it is prayed in Jesus' name. It's not an unusual thing to have, for example, local city council meetings and other meetings across America where they will have a prayer, and sometimes it's offered by an Islamic jihadist where he prays in Arabic and the listener not even recognizing that he's praying and asking for Allah to destroy the infidel. And it's laughable almost when you see this take place, but it's sad at the same time. Prayer, if it's in Jesus' name, is banned. Crosses are being banned and removed from across the public arena in America today. Christians are being prosecuted and persecuted for living their faith in the workplace. The Christian bakers, the Christian florists, and the Christian business people are being prosecuted and persecuted by the state's prosecutorial arm on the behest of the LGBTQ community simply because of the Christian individual's faith. Christians are being foreclosed on. Listen, there are condos in America, and one was very recent in South Florida, where a retired preacher was having a Bible study in his condo, in his own home, and the condo association put him on notice that he could not do that. They started a foreclosure procedure against his home ownership because he was having Bible study in his own personal private home, simply for conducting Bible studies and prayer. The Sodomite agenda today is being promoted over and above anything else that's being promoted in America, and that's destroying our foundation. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, at this point, let me just tuck in. One of the organizations in America, public retail big box stores named Target, in fact, let me say very bluntly and very concisely, do not spend God's money in your pocket at the Target stores. Target stores, as you may or may not know, some of you may not realize it, Target stores have opened their bathrooms and their dressing rooms to all of the perverts in America and the sodomites and the LGBTQ community by way of saying that anybody, if you feel that you're a man, if you feel that you're a woman, you can go into the ladies and girls shower rooms, locker room, dressing room, bathrooms in the Target stores. And I say, ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough that Target does not recognize the Christ of Christmas. It's bad enough that Target does not play Christmas, Christ-honoring Christmas music. It's bad enough that they are simply wanting to get the dollars out of your pocket, regardless of the fact that they do not recognize the Christ of Christmas. But ladies and gentlemen, when it comes down to your mothers and your grandmothers and our daughters and our granddaughters being at risk, and there's been in the past 3 years approximately 40 plus suits against Target for people being maligned and misused and abused in the dressing rooms and in the locker rooms and the bathrooms of Target stores. Simply put, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the erosion and the crumbling of the moral, ethical, spiritual foundations of our nation. If our foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalms 11:3 tells us. But ladies and gentlemen, the main focus by both the fake news media today and the left, loose left, lost liberals in the Democratic Socialist Party in America today is simply trying to force the sodomite community into the moral, ethical, citizens in America. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say, the Christian community is expected. The Christian community is being prodded. The Christian community and the churches are being pushed to simply embrace and accept the sodomite movement in our nation today. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can join in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get your telephone call right through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can have discussion on this matter. I pray that you're concerned about it, ladies and gentlemen. I am greatly concerned about seeing the moral, ethical decay and the decline and the erosion and the destruction of the foundation of our nation. Our nation's founding fathers and our church fathers and our forefathers built America on the premise and the foundation of the Word of God. For Christians today, there's a demand almost to accept the sodomite LGBTQ agenda. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says the university punishes a professor for failing to follow transgender communication. Here's the article. The transgender agenda has many fronts, and one of them is demanding that the others abide by its speech rules. If a man says he is a woman under the politically correct rules, others must address him as a woman. But now the demand at Shawnee State University in Portsmouth, Ohio, has resulted in a constitutional rights lawsuit by a professor. He explains in his court filings, the U.S. District Court in Ohio, that as a philosophy professor, he teaches students to seek knowledge, wisdom, and truth, and to challenge them to think deeply and critically about the issues of the day. The complaint continues. A male student demanded that the professor address him as a woman because he identified as such and threatened to have the professor fired if he declined to do so. To accede to his demands would have required the professor to communicate views regarding gender identity that he does not hold and that he does not wish to communicate, and that would contradict and force him to violate his sincerely held Christian beliefs. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says further, and let me just read you a blurb. Homosexuals, lesbians, transgenders, others repeatedly have complained to authorities that Christians are not bowing, listen, to their agenda, end quote. That's precisely what this movement in America is attempting to do, is to force you and to force me and to force our churches and pastors and denominational organizations to bow and to bend and to embrace and to approve and to celebrate a moral, ethical declension that's destroying our foundation, the foundations of America. In fact, the Arizona Supreme Court's now reviewing orders, and ordering Christians to promote homosexuality. The Arizona Supreme Court will review a case at Phoenix ordinance that forces Christian artists to use their talents to promote homosexuality. The ordinance also forbids public expression of Christian belief that requires celebrating only marriage between one man and one woman. There are multiple requests for the court to act in this dispute, including one from state lawmakers who admitted that they had no right to demand an opinion from the court. But they said it would be helpful as they consider changes in state law to foster freedom to the greatest extent for all Arizonians. The lawmakers noted the lower courts of appeal, which affirmed the Phoenix ordinance, apparently did not recognize the competing speech rights of the petitioners. The decision assumed that equal access to public accommodations and interest protected by the Arizona statute trumped, that is, takes precedence over the constitutional rights and free speech of religious freedom and religious expression, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're watching is the decay and the crumbling and the erosion of our nation's foundations. You see, ladies and gentlemen, back in the late 80s, some states a little sooner, but in the late 80s and the early 90s, sex education was being promoted in all of our public schools. And now it has evolved, or I should say devolved, from sex education to sodomite indoctrination in all of our governmentally controlled schools. When I say governmentally controlled schools, I'm talking about our public school system. Today, ladies and gentlemen, homosexuality, transsexuality, sexual identity, gender identity, the LGBTQ movement, which represents less than 2% of all American society, yet they have the majority of the advocacy in all political and social circles today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the demise of America. We're watching the implosion of our nation. Our foundations are being destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, we must be reminded that if our moral, ethical, Christian foundations are destroyed, it will destroy our society in America. It will destroy everything that we hold near and dear as Christians and as Christian families. If you don't believe what I'm telling you, go back and study the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire. Ladies and gentlemen, the Roman Empire imploded as a result of the moral, ethical foundations simply collapsing. It was not another outside force that took over. It's not because of invasion by outside invading armies, but it was as a result of the implosion in the Roman Empire due to moral, ethical failure, moral, ethical foundational collapse. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that further illustrates what I am saying. A male teacher is disciplined for refusing to watch teenage girls taking a shower. Yes, you heard me right. A male middle school teacher in Florida is being punished for refusing to watch a female student shower naked after physical educational classes, sparking an outcry among parents and advocates for sanity everywhere. The outrageous controversy has also garnered the attention of Liberty Counsel, a Christian public interest legal organization that is fighting to protect the teacher and the boys who wish to shower and get dressed without girls present. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll read the balance of the article in a moment, or blurbs of it. Have we lost our mind? Have we gone totally insane? Are we watching the collapse of our moral, ethical foundations and saying and doing nothing as a sane people, as a society today? This goes further and says the scandal at the CACO, that's C-H-A-C-O, middle school in Land O'Lakes, Florida, surrounds an unwritten transgender policy, basically under the scheme that boys who claim to be girls and girls who claim to be boys must be allowed to use the bathroom, the locker room, the shower room of their choice. The school's two PE teachers objected, but were ordered to keep silent. In fact, they were even prohibited from warning the children so that they could take cover, with the school claiming what would be discriminatory if they did so. When the girls walked in unannounced and caught the boys literally with their pants down, the male students suffered embarrassment and mental anguish. Some of the boys rushed to find the teacher so the adults in this room could sort out the situation. Unfortunately, though, the teachers had been gagged by the school's administrators, and so they could not even answer questions about what was going on, according to Liberty Counsel and their involvement. Ladies and gentlemen, this is right here in the state of Florida, right down at Land O'Lakes. As a result of the male teacher's refusal to go into the locker room while girls were naked, he was accused by the school officials of not being supportive in his job, which includes periodically walking through the locker rooms and the showers to check on the boys. He said he could not and would not knowingly place himself in a position that would observe a minor female in the nude or otherwise in a state of undress, end quote. And so he was told by school administrators that he would be transferred to another school and disciplinary actions would be taken. Ladies and gentlemen, have we lost our mind? Have we lost our moral compass? Have we forgotten that God created male and female. He created a man and a woman. He didn't create Shems. He didn't create some half-breed, in fact, something that is abnormal. He created a man and a woman. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a society today where we're having the sodomite indoctrination taking place under the guise of sex education, and it's being promoted with the use of pornography, and it's being promoted by the material and the curriculum being printed by the Planned Parenthood organization and by the LGBTQ community. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it egregious when these things are taking place. Here's an article that says the feds probe gender fluid boys' restroom assault on a girl. The Office for the City Civil Rights in the Department of Education is investigating the case of a 5-year-old girl who allegedly was sexually assaulted by a gender fluid classmate in a restroom in a Georgia public school. The word gender fluid, ladies and gentlemen, is simply talking about one that is a pervert, one that is confused about his sexual identity, one that is saying that I'm a girl today and a boy tomorrow. The case is a direct result of the Obama administration's guidance to schools and redefined Title IX requirement, forcing schools to accommodate gender identity in facilities such as restrooms and shower rooms. Critics have argued the guidelines conflict with the definition of male and female, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when President Trump went into office, this article says, the Trump administration immediately overturned the Obama guidelines, but the Decatur County schools in Georgia admitted they are operating under the old rules and unwilling to change. This situation was both deeply tragic and avoidable, said legal counsel Christian Halcombe of the Alliance Defending Freedom, and is defending the assault victim. Here's the essence, ladies and gentlemen, one little blur. Schools have a duty to protect the privacy and safety of all students, and Decatur County schools clearly fail this young girl, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's happening across America, and I've said many, many times our governmentally controlled schools are part of the child abuse that is taking place in the American school system, abusing our children, destroying the morals and the ethics and the values of our youngsters in school today. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, I appreciate the fact that you take up so many of these issues and discuss them from a biblical perspective. The world needs more of that. It does seem to me that years ago we'd have called this not only child abuse, but the criminal side, contributing to the delinquency of a minor. These days we've redefined so many words to the point that there are folks accepting the idea that there are 57 or 59 different genders when the reality is God created man and woman. And all these other, if there are 57 genders that the left says, I would say there are two genders and 55 psychological disorders. But I did want to touch something totally different this morning and perhaps shift gears on you for just a second.
John Alan Chaw, I believe
is how you pronounce his name, is a missionary that just passed away attempting to share the gospel with that Indian tribe. And I'd ask that all your listeners today just pray for that man's family. I know that it seems that his heart was right and his pursuit was good, and I pray that there would be more like him. I think back 62 years ago now to where Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, those others were carrying the gospel in Operation Aka to those Indians, to those natives, and it cost them their life. But today we have missionaries that have taken to the mission field because of the story of Nate Saint, Jim Elliott, and the others. What an awesome, awesome, awesome tale, and I pray that more and more would take the Great Commission as seriously as these folks did.
Absolutely. That is being willing to surrender our lives unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. As the old song says that I use so often, the song that we sing so often in church, take my life and let it be only always used for thee. And we do not have enough of that today. That is the selflessness, the self-centeredness that we find in place of the selflessness that allows individuals to continue to go and not recognize the need to get the gospel across not only America, but around the world.
you know, along that line, I've read many publications over the past couple of days that tried to make what that man did a bad thing. They said he broke the law. Well, folks need to realize that we have missionaries around the world today in places where they're not supposed to be. Government said, no, you can't. Well, I've got news for you. According to the Scripture, we ought to obey God rather than man. And this perversion that no matter what government says, we're supposed to just roll over and kowtow to it, that's the wrong philosophy. You don't find that in the Scripture. When man's rule is counter to God's rule, God's rule takes precedence. And it bothers me that among Christendom even, we have folks that have denied that truth from the Scripture.
Absolutely. In fact, to be a little more specific about that island that you're speaking of, I think there's a total inhabitants of that island, about 140 people, and they're so vile and so vicious, even the government that is literally the one that's the controlling agency for them refuses to even go on the island themselves, because any human being that's outside their circle of that 140-plus people, they will either spear to death or kill with bow and arrows. But yet, as you said, this young man, I think he was, 26 years old, wanted to get the gospel to them and literally risked and gave his life in trying to do so. Now, I don't know what God will do with that, but we must commend him for doing so. And if you say he broke the law, well, he did, in the essence that even the rulership over that little island won't even go there because they're so vicious, but he was interested in getting the gospel to them.
You know, California has now made it illegal for a pastor through pastoral counseling to try to counsel a person that has problems with what they consider sexual identity or whatever. You know, in California, you no longer can counsel that young person in the way of the Scripture in a proper course. They've made it illegal. And, you know, when we get to a point where, you know, that the evil is somehow or another, there's a stamp of approval from government. There's going to be a serious price to be paid by a lot of bureaucrats, a lot of politicians that have gone this course that they have made good an outlawed thing. They have truly called good evil. And I would admonish them to seek out the truth of the Scripture and realize they will pay a price for attempting to call good evil and evil good.
Yes. In fact, here's an article that says, we've got about a minute left, let me just share this article and then you can comment. Supreme Court is asked if schools can expose naked students to the opposite sex. Yes, Supreme Court has been asked to review a case that asks whether or not school districts can require that a student be exposed to naked members of the opposite sex. The 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with the Boynton Area School District in Pennsylvania that students should be allowed to use the restrooms and the bathrooms, the locker rooms, and show according to their gender identity rather than biological sex. The Alliance Defending Freedom lawyer is representing the Boynton students and their parents. And it's a case that's grown out of the fact with the open locker room, the open bathroom, the open shower room. And here's a group of students and their parents that are taking a stand. And it's worked its way now through the appeals court and it's on its way to the Supreme Court. So I'm praying to God that God will give some relief with the present makeup of the Supreme Court that will say to these governmentally controlled schools in America, you cannot abuse our children. You cannot morally, ethically, and emotionally destroy their lives by doing what you're doing. We're finding that is what I'm calling the undermining of the foundations of America.
And there's a verse in Timothy that challenges folks to pray for their leaders. And in prayer this morning, I obviously pray for this young man's family, this young missionary's family, that God would give peace and strength in this time. But pray for our leaders. Because there's definitely a dearth, a lack, wisdom is missing in so many instances.
Pray for
leaders, whether they be in the State House or in the White House, or whether they be in the judiciary wearing those black robes. I pray that God would give wisdom that these folks would make the right choice is the right decision.
Yes, yes. And that Timothy text you're speaking of, it goes on to say to pray for all of those that are over us in the political establishment, et cetera, so that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. Indicative of the fact that if we don't pray for them, we're going to be repressed and continue to find our foundations being destroyed. I'm delighted that we have this opportunity to share the truth from God's Word and to face the issues that we are facing today. And may we continue to say to every Christian parent, every Christian grandparent, we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Do not shut up, do not sit down, but demand that your child not be subjected to the illegal, immoral, governmentally approved child abuse in our schools today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.